Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air and here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to listen and call. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. All week long, we've been talking about giving in a rubber meets the road kind of way. The first 3 weeks of this month, whilst we've been talking about grace and money, we talked about important issues like worship and I just drew a blank, but
those good things.
Yes, good things for the first 3 weeks. But this week is actually about, so you want to give some money someplace. Why would you do that? How would you do that? What kind of attitudes are possible in that? Monday we looked at the idea of giving willingly rather than under compulsion. Tuesday we talked about this expectation of equity, fairness among the givers and the receivers, and as well as the honesty of the people who are handling the money. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we talked about enthusiasm and how important that is, but yet tempered by the reality of following through on a plan. Now, today we want to talk about giving cheerfully. This comes out of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, there are some of you out there who may have heard that word cheerful is actually hilarious, because the word in the Bible is the root of our word hilarious. But there's no idea in it of being funny.
Or giddy.
Or things like that. This has to do with happiness and cheerfulness. It's a state of mind when you and the Spirit are in tune with each other and you're responding by faith to the Spirit's prompting that this person or this organization or this ministry needs your help monetarily, and you can do that cheerfully. And it is the only way to give. I've done the compulsion thing, and you resent it every day that you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because you were forced to give. Giving because you're walking by faith and in tune with the Holy Spirit changes everything. And that's how we want you folks to respond to us and to other ministries that God puts on your heart, or to individuals. You know somebody in your neighborhood or at your church that needs help. Help them and do it based on what you've decided in your heart to give.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel with Richard Piper and Bob Christopher. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Open lines right now. All the lines, as a matter of fact, are open. We await your call. And as I've said so many times, that's why we are on the air live, so that you can be a part of the broadcast. So give us a call. Pose your question or your particular life situation. If you have some question about giving, about the grace of giving, why, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to call in the U.S. and in Canada. It's a toll-free call, of course, 800-677-9377. Lines open right now. Well, guys,
you know,
a question.
Guys, on this,
go ahead, Bob.
Bob, let me jump in just for a second.
Sure.
You know, on this passage that Richard read, and I think this is one of my favorite verses when it comes to giving, just the fact that God loves a cheerful giver, that tells us something about God himself. Oftentimes we think of God as a reluctant God, that he is not willing to give of himself to you and me, but that's not the case. God truly is a cheerful giver, and when he gave his son, he did so cheerfully. He did so knowing what giving Christ would mean for you and me. And as he comes to live inside of us, we see that cheerfulness starting to form in our hearts. As we've always talked about here on Basic Gospel, this relationship that we have with God is based on the fact that he initiates and we respond. And as we respond to what he's doing inside of us and what he is forming and shaping inside of us, we see our characteristics starting to mimic his. They're starting to align with him. So when we give cheerfully, that's, a positive confirmation in our hearts that we are starting to be formed and shaped into the image of Christ himself. He was a cheerful giver. He gave himself joyfully, knowing what his suffering and pain would mean for each and every one of us, and that's salvation. So I really love this particular passage in the sense that we see something about God himself, that he truly is a cheerful giver. It was joyful for him to give of himself. And when we respond to the gospel message, it's God that we get. I mean, he is the good news. He is the gift. And he gives himself cheerfully to each and every one of us who receive him by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, and we have open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, and a great opportunity for you to pose your question. If you had something that's concerning you, we'd like to discuss it with you on this edition, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Randy, who writes to us from Walport, Oregon, concerning the verse Proverbs 17:9. Says, can you explain this particular passage for my understanding? Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Again, that's Proverbs 17:9. He would like an explanation of that particular passage.
Richard, that's a great verse, isn't it?
It is.
And it's been repeated a couple of times in the New Testament, and it really gets down to the nature of God's love and God's grace. Love covers. Anything that exposes is not love at all. And, in this world that we live in, it's a world that likes to expose. It's a world that likes to point fingers and judge and to show forth the wrongdoings of anybody and everybody, and it especially loves to do it if the guilty party is someone of faith, someone who claims to be a Christian, and it's even more so if that person is a ministry leader.
Yeah.
But when you know the love of God, you know that love covers. I think of the story of Noah after the flood. He's developed a vineyard, and he has had a little bit too much of the wine of that vineyard, and he's drunk, and he's in his tent. And his three sons, two of them, or one of them, goes in and sees his father, and he comes out and just blabs to everybody that, hey, Dad's drunk and all of this stuff. And the other two, out of love, they walk into the tent. They walk into the tent backwards, and they're carrying a blanket, and they cover over their father. And that's to keep the sin where it was. No one needs to know about that. And they can deal with him in love. And that's exactly what love does. And I think we as Christians need to really learn that principle, learn that truth, and walk in it. Love does not expose, love covers.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great story and a great application of that particular scripture. Thanks, Bob, for that. Plenty of open lines. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. I'm going to talk to Curtis, listening in Washington on WAVA. Hi, Curtis. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I've always had a question because I've always wondered, I feel like all the major churches that I've actually visited or actually just heard about, I notice how every time you go, when offering time comes, they always talk about Malachi, and they always say, if you don't tithe, that your curse will curse, or even there say, if you give this, God will give that, and I never really agreed with that because the way I look at it is, if God has really called them and called that church to a ministry, to me it seems like he would take care of that ministry as well. I'm not saying that he won't use, others to give to the ministry, but I mean that he would speak to the congregation's hearts. I don't think it should be a thing where you're being whipped with a whip to just give. And it seems like you're being whipped with Malachi if you don't give. Because I've known people that have given actually tithe their rent. And when they got part of their houses or apartments, they had no help because they took their rent money and tithed it. because they were told, if you sacrifice, God will sacrifice for you. And I just wanted to kind of elaborate on that, if you can.
Well, Curtis, that gets right back to the very verse that we opened the broadcast with, the fact that God loves a cheerful giver. And under that type of theology, there's no cheerfulness in giving at all. You're just doing it out of obligation, out of a sense of fear. You don't want to be cursed by God. And that also really negates the promises that were given to us in this new covenant, specifically in the book of Galatians, where Paul wrote this, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Well, that's true of those who are under the law, but as believers in Christ, we're not under that law. We are in the new covenant. We have been set free from the law of sin and death to enjoy the newness of life in Christ. And Paul goes on to say this, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." So in Christ, we have been set free from the curse of the law. We are no longer under that curse, and we will never, ever, ever be under that curse. That's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and the redemption that he purchased there. So anyone saying that if you don't give, you're going to be cursed is not in the New Testament. They are not giving the promises that were made to us in Christ, in the truth of this gospel message. As a believer, we have been set free, redeemed. We can never go back under that curse. That's just truth, and we need to embrace that truth. We need to walk in it. And when we do, that frees us to give generously and to give cheerfully, knowing that there's no guilt if you don't. God isn't sitting up there disappointed if you can't. But he's going to work in your heart in such a way that you will want to give, and you'll want to give cheerfully.
Does that help, Curtis?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a wonderful answer. I really appreciate that.
Well, very good.
I really appreciate it. That answered my question completely.
Well, thank you so much. And if you have other questions, don't hesitate to call. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, let's move on to Long Island and talk to Henrietta, listening on WMCA. Hi, Henrietta. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you. Hope you are, too.
Yes. I'm Henrietta, and I don't know if this is the right word to call. I'm very desperate, and actually I have a skill by making jewelry, so I'm taking out my frustration making jewelry. I'm a victim of domestic violence. I was in a safe house for a while from my son's father. And while I was in there, I ended up at social services, and my son was very, very sick all the time, born with a hole in his heart. And he always have severe asthma, so he always in the hospital. So it so happened that a friend of mine, her name is Linda. She moved to Florida now. Actually, she helped me. She said, there's an opening at a house to stay in a church house. But the church, actually, to be honest with you, told me it's a two-year program. So I think the program ended in May. So they want me and my son to leave. But the problem is my paperwork through immigration almost come through. Immigration sent me an approved letter that they would send me my paperwork, but unfortunately I never received it, because when the Coalition for Domestic Violence in Bethpage gets to immigration, call them, they told us that they send it to a wrong address, my paperwork to a wrong address, and whoever was at that address mailed it back to them, and it was destroyed. So So now they're trying to process to try to get me back from October of last year. To be honest with you, I've been going out daily, making ads, putting up papers in places to get jobs, which I do get jobs, but when I get jobs, they ask me, all I give them is the approved letter, but they told me at this time they can't employ me because they need those paperwork from immigration. Now I've been to school and on my own, I'll pay out of pocket because the time I used to do babysitting jobs and so forth. So I fight and go to school on my own and I have my certificate. But the problem, I can't get a job. I have nowhere to go, and my son is doing so much better. And by being safe and not sick all the time, I've been in the hospital like for 2 days, 4 days with drips and all that stuff. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm very desperate, and I feel alone.
Well, I'm so glad you reached out to the program. I'm so glad you called today, and also very glad that you and your son are safe. I think that's the first thing that needs to be handled in a domestic violence situation, that you find safety, and it certainly sounds like that's the case for you, that you have found safety and that you're free from harm's way. And I am so glad that is the case. It also sounds that like you are doing everything that you can to find a job, to provide for your son, to provide for yourself. You're just caught up in some red tape. I certainly commend you for your efforts there. That is just fabulous. And certainly we cannot solve this situation on a broadcast such as this. What I would like to do is put you on hold, and we can get your information and see if we can find somebody in your area that can help you, that can help walk you through this process. But before I do that, I would like to I know you talked about feeling alone. And sometimes life circumstances make us feel that way. But I want to know that there's somebody that can be there for you 24 hours a day, and his name is Jesus. So I want to know, have you ever come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to know him personally?
Yes, because to be honest with you, I've been baptized since came out from where I was from the safe house, and I was on my own, you know. So I've been baptized. I've been doing volunteering at soup kitchens and stuff like that. But unfortunately, at this time, I can't do it because I'm trying to see if I could find somewhere to go by October. Not October, actually, this May, the church want me to leave with my son. Yeah. But I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Where I'm going to go.
Well, here's what I would say for you to do, just as an attitude. The Bible says to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And I know your mind is thinking out in the future, and you're worried about what tomorrow holds or what the next day after that holds or what's going to happen a month from now or even a year from now. And our minds just aren't capable of really projecting out into the future and seeing it accurately. That's God's country. All we can know about is what's in front of us right now. And so I would suggest to you, just as a way to calm your heart and mind, is to list out all of the blessings that you do have and thank the Lord for those and begin doing that today. And then what I would suggest is that we put you on hold, we get some information from you, and we try to connect you with some people that that can help walk you through this, okay?
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, you hang on to the line, and we'll get all that information. And again, thank you so much for reaching out today. and calling this radio program, and we're so glad that we could be there to be a voice to help, and we'll trust the Lord with what he's going to do in this situation, okay?
Yes, indeed. And Henrietta, if you have further questions, be sure to call us back. Our operator will pick you up. Well, Bob, Bob and Richard, let's go on to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk to Oscar, listening on WMCA. Hi, Oscar.
Yes, sir. Some people say we have to accept Jesus. Now, if salvation is a free gift, it should be we receive Jesus and he accepts us, Robert. Is there a difference? Or?
Good question, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And it's an interesting use of words. And most people don't put it together the way you are, Oscar. they use the words interchangeably, accept and receive. And and in reality, I think you are a little more correct. I mean, Jesus initiates to us.
That's right.
And he initiates this salvation to us. We accept it in the sense that we choose, or because we can reject the offer. But to actually get saved means we have received him into our lives. And so both words are appropriate in the right spots, but salvation means actually having Jesus living inside of us by the Holy Spirit, having been made alive spiritually. And so I think your fine point on the two words is well put. But again, so many people think about it as those words almost being synonymous with each other.
I think John really nailed it in John chapter 1, verse 12. Yeah. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's the very thing that we need to realize. When we receive him, we're actually receiving him. I mean, his offer to us is himself. It's not a new set of rules and regulations. It's not a bunch of rituals. God is giving himself to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we receive him, as Richard was saying, into our lives. So I think, Oscar, you're right on with that. So
thank you.
Good for you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Oscar. Good to hear from you. Well, guys, we're just about down to the end of the broadcast, and we have not had the opportunity to talk yet about our matching gift challenge, which is a very, very important issue on the table right now. So, guys, let's talk about that. What a wonderful opportunity for our listeners.
Well, it is a great opportunity, and I just hope our listeners will take advantage of this opportunity to double their impact through Basic Gospel. We have a $25,000 matching gift fund on the table, and what that means is that for every dollar that comes in between now and March 31st, it will be doubled, dollar for dollar, up to $25,000. I think we're at about the $18,000 mark that's come in, that's been designated for the matching gift fund. Let's go ahead and finish. Let's finish this race. Let's finish strong, and let's get it completed by March 31st. A gift of $100, $500, $1,000 will be doubled dollar for dollar. So take advantage of this opportunity. Double the impact of your ministry through Basic Gospel.
Yeah, and the way this works is not, we make this offering available to you. I mean, here is an option for supporting a ministry. You, in your heart and in your walk of faith with God, go to him and say, can I give willingly? Can I give expectantly? Can I give enthusiastically and cheerfully? And if so, how much should I give, Lord? And again, it can be any amount because it's all doubled. And so this is not guilt-inducing. This is true giving, the way, you know, the grace of giving, as Paul describes it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can make your gift either of two good ways. First, you can call and talk to our operator at 1-800-727-2828 up to 6 p.m. Central Time today, 1-800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link, the matching gift challenge, right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. We also accept donations through PayPal, and currently this is the best way for those of you outside the United States to support the ministry. And thank you for helping us broadcast the only message that really matters with your matching gift. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.